but I love you tremendously. We've worshiped together. There's been times that we've been able to serve the Lord and love on each other, and there's been times where maybe that there was a rebuke that came from the Word of God, but in love, you've handled it well, and I commend you, and I appreciate you. I look around at the sanctuary here at Fellowship, and I just see just brightness and growth, and I see peace and comfort. I see it in your eyes. I sense it from your hearts, and I look around, and I see the beauty, the decorations. Thank y'all for that. It's just beautiful here, and it's inviting. It's an atmosphere conducive for worship, and then the opportunity to go over and have a meal COVID style, right? Thank God for it, amen. And some turkey gave his life so that I could have something to eat, amen. And I appreciate all the ham, amen. And I have asked the Lord if he would let me die in an avalanche of that macaroni and cheese. Thank God for it, trying to eat my way out. If I went like that, I'd go a happy man. It was tremendous. Say amen. And both of these preachers that preached, didn't they do a great job? God bless you, men. God bless you, men. And I know you don't do it for applause, but I do want to recognize you because you've labored hard for a number of days just to get ready to preach and prayed and sought God's face to preach to us. And I appreciate that. And now you two birds got to eat all you wanted to. And now this whole thing was sitting on me and I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And they're sitting here laughing at me now. So hallelujah, fellas. I'll talk to you when the service is over. I appreciate the opportunity again, preacher. Thank you for inviting us. And tonight I have a text. It's on my heart. It's in the New Testament, found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10. A very familiar text. I certainly understand that. And I just have detected that the Lord is in the house. And it has been a real blessing to be in God's house tonight. And I trust that what he's laid on our heart will be beneficial to you this evening. I want to just slow down just a little bit, and I want to just take the word, and I want us to give instruction, and I want you to hear and to listen. And so me, a lot of times I get so wrapped up, I'm ready to go. But I feel like tonight God wants me just to slow down, and let's go through this. Stand to your feet in reverence to the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, I want to remind you, I warn you, my daddy, who's here, right back there, raised me going down to Camp Zion. We'd be in church at 8 o'clock in the morning to hear Dr. Allison preach, and then we would be in church all day long. They'd give us a lunch break and give us a supper break. We'd come back in at 7 o'clock. We'd have two or three preachers scheduled that night, and I can remember many times they would sing a congregational hymn, and the next thing I knew, without another song, without one song, without any preacher whatsoever, it would be 11 o'clock, people testifying and running and shouting. I seen so many people getting saved in the altar, and then somebody had to go to the bathroom for my group, and when they came back in, they said, "Preacher, there's more people in the lobby getting saved than there are in the altar getting saved." Listen, we took off running that place. It was unbelievable. And at 11:15, on the night service, we've been there all day long, Brother Mike Bagwell, they said, "Come up and preach to us." And he said, "Are you sure, brother? It's 11:15. Absolutely. And he preached until 12:30, and man, did we ever get a tremendous blessing that night. I would love to have been in a service that went all the way to daylight. I may aim for that right now. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10, I scared three people to death. I seen, there's people laid down right then when I said, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Father, this is our opportunity in 2020, one more time to share the Word of God. Obviously, probably my last time for this year. Lord, I thank you for the many opportunities you've given us. God, you saw fit to save us. Oh, when we were sinners, lifted us out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit, and set our feet upon a solid rock and established our goings. And God, I honor you tonight, and I thank you for your sacrifice, giving your Son to die for me. And then, God, I don't know why, but you called me to preach. And Lord, it wasn't my idea, not even something I wanted to do, but necessity was laid upon me to share the gospel. And tonight, in 2020, here I stand. And Lord, I want to confess to you, I can't. I never could. It's been you. It's been all you. Lord, tonight, would you show everybody one more time your glory? God, would you be pleased to open your word and its treasure vault of wisdom? And would you share it with our hearts that we might receive help? Lord, we need help in our nation, help in our churches, help in our communities, help in our families, help in our individual lives. Help us, God, I pray, by your Spirit, by your Son, by your precious Word, would you speak to our hearts tonight? Father, thank you for all you've done for us. And I ask your help now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. Now, I want to say, of course, we all could look at 2020 and see the difficulties of the year. I've never seen a harder, more trying year in the years of ministry that I've had, which are few. I know 2019, God saved well over 100, maybe 125 souls in our church or places we went to preach. The greatest year of ministry, followed by probably the hardest year of ministry. It's been very difficult, but God has been better than good. He's been faithful. He's blessed us, taken care of us. God has been good. He is in absolute control, sovereignly, of every hair on your head, every beat of your heart. God has made no mistakes. COVID is beneath him. The election is beneath him. It matters not what goes on in the White House. What matters is what's going on in your house. That is what's going to make a difference. And from your house to God's house, that's what's going to make a difference in our nation tonight. Now, according to this text, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. All of us have equal trials and difficulties and hardships and temptations. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Now somebody will take that to say, that means that God won't put more on me than I can bear. He never said that. That is not in the Word of God. Hold your place here. Just hold your place. Let's jump over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I hadn't planned on reading this, but I will. Verse number 8, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. Paul's our writer here, led by the Holy Ghost of God. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You see that? Pressed above measure. Pressed above strength. Paul despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. So through Christ, all things are possible. Through Christ, we can do all things. Now, go back to our text. The Lord said, I will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now, watch this. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. This is not, some of you think. This is not an escape from temptation. Right. Many of you think, oh, the Lord will provide me some escape route and exit off of what I'm on here. And I'm just going to get over it. I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to get away from it. That's not what it means. Right. It's not an escape from it. Hear me. It's an escape with it. Right. If I go with it, how shall I escape it? What you're dealing with is bogging you, afflicting you, oppressing you. I'm telling you, it's loading you down. And God said, I will make a way of escape that you can escape with it. Read the text. That you may be able to bear it. Yeah. Right? In other words, you're escaped with it that you may be able to bear it. That you and God, for His glory, will bear this trial that you're going through. I'm talking to somebody, maybe one person. I don't know who you are. I had not planned on going this direction. If you had asked me last night, if you had asked me 2 days ago, in fact, earlier today, I was not going this route. But somebody, you've got a weight on you. And you're so discouraged and you're so down and out. And hear me, God has not made a mistake. God has allowed this to happen that you may bear it for His glory and that you may escape with it and get free in it and have liberty and rejoice and praise His holy name no matter what is happening. Are y'all okay? Now, that you may be able to bear it. I'm thinking in the book of Mark, chapter 15. In the book of Mark, chapter 15. The Bible says in verse number 16, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and bowing their knees worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Right. Simon, you bear his cross. I don't want to carry it. You bear his cross. I'm not in line to do it. I want an escape route. I want to get out of this. You bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Wow. To Simon, who is coming out of the country that day, walked upon a scene as Jesus is carrying the cross, bloodied, bludgeoned, beat halfway to death. He just walks up and they point at him and say, you carry his cross. It was unexpected to Simon for him to be appointed to carry this cross. What God has given to you is not something you've signed up for. What God has commanded you to do is something that you did not expect. But God said, I intend, I expect for you to bear this cross. Now, you're just traveling here in your daily life. And God has an unexpected load that He's laid upon you. You didn't ask for it. You've not been looking for it, but you're compelled to bear it. What are you going to do with it? And what are you going to do about it? The Bible says in the book of James, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You cannot tempt God with evil, and God will not tempt you with evil. The word tempt means to try. God puts you through trials to strengthen your faith, to increase your faith as you walk with Him, that your faith will stand the test. In the book of Genesis chapter 22, God did tempt Abraham and said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Whoa, wait a minute, time out. Abraham had another boy. His name was Ishmael. Did God just lose His mind? Did God? Let me tell you something. God did not recognize the sin. And God did tempt Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain. And God had Abraham to take that boy, and he laid that boy down, and I want you to know he drew back that knife. God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham. Amen. Wait a minute, Preacher Darren. God already had Abraham. Abraham, I'm laying a load on you. Abraham, you're going to bear an unexpected cross. I want you to give me the thing you love the most. And Abraham said, God, I love you the most. And he laid down his son willingly, believing that God could raise him back to life again. And when God saw that he had Abraham, God had a ram caught in this thicket by his horns back there. And he caused Abraham to stop short of having to sacrifice that boy. Now, hear me. Whatever you think in your life, when you have an unexpected load, this decision is laid on you. You've got to know God does not really want what you love. God wants you. Will you hear me? God wants you. Now, Simon the Cyrenian is compelled to carry this cross. This is not the cross that we're commanded to take up and follow the Lord. Listen, and be His disciple. Listen what Jesus said. Listen. Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That cross that you take up is voluntary. It is willing to be ashamed before the world and humbled before God and carry that cross for the cause of Christ. It is a cross that you voluntarily pick up. Simon doesn't have a voluntary cross to pick up. He is commanded. He is compelled. He is told, you are going to carry this cross. I'm talking to somebody here tonight. I don't know who you are. You may be the most saved, happy, rejoicing person here. But God is already asking you. He's chosen you. He's pointed out. You've already started. You have a cross that you have to carry. And it is unexpected. I went to visit a little widow lady. She was weeping and crying. She prayed for me all the time. She was weeping and crying. And she said, Pastor, my son is not saved. And I just can't figure out why. Why won't God and save my boy? And God had me say this to her. I said, you know what? Sister, if God saved that boy, would you get up off your knees? Would you quit praying for me? Would you quit praying for other pastors? Would you quit praying for... And she said, oh, that's it. She said, I've been bearing this unexpected cross for my boy. And God's going to save my boy the whole time. But what he really wanted was me. Woo! Had glory be. When she got that and confessed that to God, God saved that boy. Right after that, and buddy, she became even a greater prayer warrior than she ever was. You see, God just wants you. You're so worried about your prayer requests that have been answered or not answered. That's your burden. God already knows what he's going to do about that. He wants you just to settle down and trust him. What he wants is you. You see, the cross, he says in Matthew 16, is a voluntary cross. You can take it. You can leave it. It's your choice. But now, Mark's gospel said they've got Simon the Cyrenian to bear his cross. Let me read you a text out of Luke 23 about Simon. They laid the cross upon Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. In other words, this is a cross that is laid on you. It is something you didn't have a choice about. This was the will of God that you carry this cross. I don't know what sickness. I don't know what burden. I don't know what issue. I don't know what it is. But God has already, by his sovereign will, decided that you are going to carry this cross. It's been preordained. And this cross is not intended to ruin you. This cross is intended to bring you closer to him. And it's intended to cause you to love him more. You may say, well, Preacher Darren, I don't believe that. I think Simon the Cyrenian was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. If he had done this or if he had done that, then that would never have been laid upon him. But this was prearranged, preordained by Almighty God. I believe God is so in charge that he orders every man's steps. I believe that's how in charge he is. In fact, this day that he's going to bear that cross, that's crucifixion day. If there's ever been a day God's in charge of, it's crucifixion day. Hold your Bible here. Turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 118. Psalms 118. I'm not preaching yet, but we're just kind of laying a little thought here. Psalm 118. What's this? Psalm 118, verse 22. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. That's Jesus. They've refused him. They've rejected him, and he's going to carry that cross up Calvary's hill. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not just talking about this day. All days he made them all. We can always rejoice. But crucifixion day, the devil wasn't in control. COVID wasn't in control. Biden wasn't in control. Trump wasn't in control. God Almighty was in control. And he's still in control as much today as he was then. And he's never ever made a mistake. And this cross he's laid on you has a purpose. And I pray that you'll let him have his way. Quit fighting him. Quit resisting him. And just walk with him. Okay? Now, when I go to the text, I see number one. They were looking for a cross bearer. Let me read to you from Matthew's gospel, which always presents Jesus as a king, talking about Simon. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They found. In other words, they were looking for someone to carry his cross. They were looking for someone that was available. This man came out of the country, minding his own business. He's there with his two children, and God Almighty has preordained this moment. The hand of a Roman grabbed a hold of him and said, you carry his cross. It may have been the hand of a Roman, but it was really, I believe, the hand of a mighty God that grabbed a hold of him and said, you. You need to help me preach. Come on. He said, you bear his cross. Hey, God, don't just let anybody bear the cross of the Son of God. God Almighty preordained and picked Simon the Cyrenian to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. And he has chosen you to bear this and suffer this for his glory. He's available. Are you available? He sees him with ability. He's not going to choose some weakling, somebody that's not going straight forward. He's not going to choose somebody to bear the cross that's all over the map. He's looking for somebody who's a man who's willing to stand, who's able. Hallelujah. He's look at his attitude. When adversity hits a home, we say, I wonder what they did. I wonder what sin they committed. Why is this necessity? Why is this cross? Why is this problem laid on them? And you judge them. Wonder what Simon did wrong that he has to bear that cross. We do it, don't we? I think for a minute. It just may be that God has found a man, or God has found a family, or God has found a church, God has found a people that is willing to bear his cross for his glory. Someone, maybe it's a woman, but someone that he can trust, someone that he can count on to bear this unexpected, uncalculated cross. Now, I never read one place, not one, that Simon the Cyrenian complained. When they said, you carry his cross, he didn't say, oh no, not me. He didn't say, I knew I'd have to do this. This is not fair. I'm not sick. He was definitely not a Baptist. Probably not a preacher. We quit every Monday and twice on Tuesday. He never complained one time about the cross that was laid upon him. I'm thinking tonight that God is looking for a cross bearer. In fact, God has already found the ones that he's chosen to lay this unexpected cross upon them. And right now, you're just about ready to try to get out from underneath it. You're just about ready to try to adjust and get away from it. But God has chosen this way for you. He's looking for a cross bearer. There's also the load on the cross bearer. Let me read again out of Luke 23. Read to you. Luke 23, you might want to see it. Luke 23, look at verse 26. You might want to see it. Luke 23, verse 26. I'll wait till you find it. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now I want to say this to you. There is never a moment that cross was not on Jesus' shoulders. Some of you will think, hey, he got weak for a moment and he laid it down and that's why they got signed. No, that's false doctrine. There's not a moment he got out from underneath that cross. Well, why'd they get Simon the Cyrenian? Simon is chosen, brought to that place that he might bear it after Jesus. Well, preacher Darren, the word after to me means that Jesus laid it down and he's the second one to pick it up. No, honey, what the word means is Jesus has already begun bearing the load and now Simon is brought up to bear the load alongside Jesus. In fact, some people say, well, I think as Jesus was bearing that cross, he was dragging it. Honey, he wasn't dragging it. No. That wasn't why they chose Simon to bear the tail end of it. No, Jesus is on the right side. Simon the Cyrenian's on the left side of that horizontal bar, and there they go together, bearing that cross, the load. Hear me, Jesus will never put more on you than he can bear himself. What can Jesus bear? How much of a load can Jesus take? Oh, preacher, Darren, I can't take much. Yeah, but honey, you and him pulling together, can you see him bearing that cross almost like two oxen? Yoked up. You see, this, I don't know what Simon is already carrying. Aaron, I think about, baby, how old was Rufus? How old was Alexander? Maybe there's the age of your boys. You got one this arm, one this arm. You carry his cross. I've already got a load. Some of you have already got a load. God said, I want you to carry this unexpected cross. It's an additional load. It's an accountable load for Simon. This is not, he cannot take this cross and pass it off to somebody else. He can't say, hey, Brother Aaron, can you carry the cross for me? I got a load already. He couldn't blame shift. He couldn't get out from underneath this load. Well, I think I'll just resign my church. That's, I'll get away from the work. I'm going to quit singing. That's what I'm going to do. Honey, you ain't going nowhere. God intends to help you bear this load for his glory. Quit passing your burdens off to other people. I have found in my life, I'm telling you, I mean, my wife has MS. We've had all kinds of issues, all kinds of worries. Our children problem, man, I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you something. What I thought has been my biggest trial or my biggest burden has turned out to be my biggest blessing. Ask Simon the Cyrenian. Ask him. What an unexpected cross, Simon. It just wasn't fair that you would have to bear this.